It's Mike Shope.
On who and what was thrown at that gentleman, and that gentleman has been ejected, but it was an ugly, ugly sight. I can't circle. I don't have my telestrator today, but what? Here comes a pizza. See it? Oh, jeez.
Highly unnecessary.
And the Bulldog.
Guy with the Patriots jacket, and of course, he's been asked to leave the ball game for ruining a good piece of pizza. So, get beer all over. And here comes.
Some
pizza.
On WGR.
That was an awful sight here at Fenway, and that is not tolerated in this ballpark. He has been ejected and never again allowed to buy pizza.
Sports Radio 550.
I was thinking of saying the Blue Jays are back home tonight for a series with Baltimore, but that's, you know, that only sort of right. They are back in Buffalo anyway. For a four-game series, another homestand, more opportunity, lucky us, to get to see the majors here in the city. Weather looks great. Blue Jays and Orioles tonight. Ben Wagner, Blue Jays broadcaster. He's been on the show many times, as you know. BenWag247 on Twitter. He's going to update us here on the Jays and talk about this series. Ben, how is this season going for you?
For me personally or the Blue Jays?
Yeah,
like, I wish I was more involved, to be honest with you guys, but... for the Blue Jays, I think there have been some times where, you know, they have underperformed. I think the offense came out of the gate a little more sluggish than they even thought that they would. The bullpen was electric. That was supposed to be strong. Thought the rotation would catch up. But this team overall has had good pockets of play, but I don't think they have their best baseball played yet. And last night in Miami was a pretty good ball game for the Blue Jays defensively. Offensively, even though it wasn't a, you know, big number put up on the scoreboard, they had timely hits. They faced a pretty good pitching staff in Miami over the last couple of days, and everything just started to come back in sync. With starting pitching, the bullpen looks like it's kind of settled down, even though it's still very much of an injured bullpen for high-leverage guys. That's why I'm a big believer that the Blue Jays have yet to put their best baseball together for this season.
Well, George Springer being back might give them a current chance of doing that. Also, playing the Orioles four times should help.
Bingo. There you go. That's exactly.
Here's the moment. Here's the moment, Ben. Right now.
Yeah, I know. This is why things should go really, really well. If they could mix in a Diamondback series here before the All-Star break, that'd be great, too. The Orioles, They don't do a lot of things well, you know, and it's unfortunate because you just walk away game after game thinking, man, that's not how a Major League Baseball team should perform. And that's good news for the Blue Jays because they're looking for momentum after they finally got through the first 2.5 months. You saw some light at the end of the tunnel once you got to the middle of June here where the schedule would lighten up and conceivably – give this team an opportunity not only to gain momentum going into the All-Star break, but right after it, too. Again, with some pivotal series in there, but they got to play good baseball, and they have to keep themselves in the run here, and maybe they're past the toughest patch dealing with a bullpen that was leaky and another rash of injuries here and get this thing going with George Springer coming back to the lineup, too.
Right, he's been back what the last two games now after missing quite a while. Is there optimism that he's through like the stuff here? There's nothing lingering, and that like he's taken enough time and not been rushed or anything like that.
That's why the AAA assignment was so important, and there were a couple of plays, but he falls back on just a kind of a buzzword, but explosiveness, and that's the one thing that he never was able to have, or feel at least confident in his body to have. When he was on the field, offensively or defensively, the acceleration out of the batter's box, can you stop and adjust on the bases? Can you break back or a first step forward defensively? Those little things he felt like he was, you know, 80 to 85% at, and he never was really comfortable, and that's why this long shutdown happened before he got back onto the field of play. He missed 44 games. I mean, that's a huge amount of time for a guy that should be the marquee player. I think they will still take some precaution in terms of his actual demand of the body and give him a DH day. And for people that don't know, he never stopped taking batting practice. Like, he never stopped swinging the bat. And he was around the club the entire time. But, you know, to keep him off his legs, make sure the legs stay fresh here for at least the next couple of weeks will be really important.
These will be his
and
first.
Then all systems go.
Sorry, Ben. These will be his first games in Buffalo, right? Like, he wouldn't have played here last year for Houston and then Dunedin early in the season and then Miami. So, right? That would be
correct.
His
yeah,
debut
this
here.
It. This is the first go around. He's been on the field for batting practice and, you know, shagging fly balls and some other stuff, but he has not played a game yet at Salem Field. So, this will be the debut.
How do you feel, or how do you know, like the, how does the Jays organization overall, maybe just who you've talked to, think this is going here with Salem Field, with the fans? Now we've got more tickets for sale, right? Like a lot of places, this is expanding. There was a continuation of the border closure, so we're pretty safe here going into well into July at least. What are sort of some of the observations you're finding and hearing?
Well, go all the way back to the work that was done between the Bisons and the Blue Jays and kind of the blueprints that were put together and then executed once the weather broke, and they improved the field and moved the bullpens off. They did incredible work in the bowels of the ballpark. Unfortunately, not many people will get to experience it or live it, especially this year, but the improvements with a brand new clubhouse and improvements that were long overdue, to be honest with you, you know, necessary things. But to the Bison's credit, you know, they were focusing on the fans over the last 10, 15 years and their experience more so than the actual ball players, because, you know, new shower heads won't help Mike Buczkowski and Anthony Sprague sell one more ticket. So that's why it's important, you know, to make sure the fan amenities are taken care of first and foremost. But you needed to upgrade not only for the AAA component, you had to upgrade a little bit deeper than what you were able to do. And now with the luxury of time in Buffalo working in their favor, they were able to do a number of those things. And the new clubhouse, a couple of activation stations, the new hydrotherapy, the new batting cages, all of this stuff, talking with the players are things that they recognize improved greatly. And it took investment for both organizations to get it done. And then you roll that into what the atmosphere has been like in Buffalo. The guys were so desperate to get out of Dunedin. Get out of Dunedin, and the way that ballpark was playing, some of the sun issues, which were very, very real, battling the sun, sinking in the especially the left fielder, shortstop, and third baseman's eyes for far too long. And then take it a step further, the atmosphere. Western New York does a great job rallying around awesome things, you know, whether it's a music festival, whether it's an event at the ballpark, whether it's the Blue Jays being there, and now with the fans having an opportunity to be part of this, those guys were jacked up for it. They weren't surprised that it was pro-New York when the Yankees rolled in here, but they are so thankful to have fans finally being able to cheer from them and be part of this thing and have a little energy and juice in the ballpark. That's the overall echo that I hear from guys.
I like it.
How likely might you think it is that the season will end here, Ben? I mean, Mike already mentioned the border, and forgive me, I've been sort of traveling a bit, and I may have missed if there was anything formal about this. Like, what do you have a feeling for like how likely it is that the Jays will be playing here in August and September?
I think it's a very big probability that the Blue Jays continue their play through August and September. There are a number of different layers that you have to go through, from the border even relaxing enough restrictions, let alone just getting to a point where it's wide open. I know that they extended it. I know that they relaxed the Canadian travel with vaccination proof and a negative COVID test. But Major League Baseball is operating to a point where 85% of your travel party, that includes front office people, support staff, medical staff, plus the players, 85%, then allowed them to relax the protocols within Major League Baseball's confines. That doesn't, and there are teams out there that still are fighting to get to that 85%, personal belief or not. And I think that will be the biggest hurdle that the Blue Jays have to get over moving across the border, and the teams that are coming across the border at the same time, because mm-hmm. the federal government is looking at not only the team that is coming, specifically the Blue Jays, but they're also looking at what's the situation like in Kansas City if the Royals are coming to town. You know, like those kind of instances are going to play into it. It's really complex. It's a really deep dive in looking at the schedule, evaluating when the right time to move the team would be, and that's why it's going to take some time to get it done. And we're all looking at the same calendar, right? And it takes a massive mobilization, again, for a team that's already moved twice because they had to get everything down in Dunedin then to Buffalo, and essentially for not only the team and its travel party, but also the family and support network that are around these guys. I think it's a major, major obstacle.
Yeah, very well laid out. Could these also be factors? Is there a point at which, from a competitive standpoint, that it just doesn't behoove the Blue Jays to move? Or is that maybe just not a consideration because you're talking about, you know, 3, 4, 5 times as many people? If that were the outcome, maybe that isn't even realistic anyway. I wonder if there's a point at which you go, it's not worth it for what's left. And then also perhaps this would be different, like what the ballpark, what the whole thing is, how it all sort of computes to determine whether the Jays might think they have some other level of advantage playing here. I don't even know what that would be. The playability, how the ballpark plays in some way, meaning something to how they decide this. But I'm guessing that won't be a thing.
That's thick in the weeds. I think a couple of things will factor in more before you even get down to if it's a competitive advantage to move to Rogers Center. There are a million different advantages that this organization has by being at its hub, at its nerve center, and that's Rogers Center, right? And in a ballpark that is ready for major league competition and to hold major league baseball, there are a number of those advantages. But with the current state of where Ontario is, where the federal government views this, that those automatically start to detract from those advantages. And even if there is light at the end of the tunnel to have fans back at Rogers Center, I don't know that it's going to be a difference maker with this team, you know, ultimately deciding. I think it's going to decide, where do they have enough time to make the move? Is it going to be beneficial to make a move for the players and the Blue Jays at that point? Buffalo is much different than Dunedin in the way that this ballpark plays. And that's why, again, the guys were so ready to stop pitching there. The hitters would love to stay. But, again, you know, you get these slugfests all of a sudden, and it's just not fun. Ballpark versus ballpark, you know, Salem Field's holding its own. In the way that they and StatCast look at how the ball travels and who has the advantage, it's a pretty fair ballpark to this point.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, too, seeing a lot of games there, This is the prime time. I think the ballpark plays more fair late June, July, and August than at any point in the year.
That has something to do with the climate, right? Like I read Derek Carty, who studies this for fantasy, his research was Salem Field, relatively speaking, because of the climate, will be more of a pitcher's park than you think. And I might be underselling it by saying that. Am I close?
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I looked at some data in spring training when they were comparing different ballparks too, and I think the perception was if you go to a minor league ballpark, you know, the numbers are just going to automatically be inflated. That's just not the case, especially in Buffalo. That is just not the case.
Right.
And even more so, and Derek's right, you look at how the ball, just one with the eye test, but two, then the data collected from Major League Baseball's and Major League Baseball players last year, it proves it.
Yeah.
I love that we've gotten 15 minutes into a conversation about the Blue Jays without mentioning Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
I happen to hate that.
last year was a pretty tough year. It looks like he figured out, getting himself in optimal shape. This year he's having is speaking for itself. I mean, it's got to be really something to watch him night in and night out, Ben.
It's incredible. It is must-see TV. If you're around the tube or if you're going to the ballpark, this is the one guy you want to see in the batter's box. But the pitch recognition, I mean, the ball's coming out of the pitcher's hand. He's not getting baited. It never looks like he's swinging for the fences at all. He is tabulating, to his own admission. He's counting his home runs don't think that he's not, because that's a really big statistic for Vladimir Guerrero Jr., but it's his approach. And right now, nobody has figured out how to break him off that approach, because he is driving the ballpark wild right now with any contact that he has. He's comfortable going the opposite way. He's comfortable pulling the baseball. And he has found a rhythm at the plate that is incredible right now for all the traditional metrics and now all of the deep dive metrics. And that is what's more impressive about his play right now, is that it is the perfect storm of a joy to watch and a joy to analyze with what he's able to do in the batter's box. And the biggest step for me, though, is him defensively. He has come such a long way at a really hard position to take over, let alone try to do it on short notice last year, moving into a shortened season. And the footwork has improved. His overall feel of how to play first base has improved considerably, where he's got this internal clock now and how far to move to his right, how far to go back. And he's making plays that he just would not have made last year. And to me, all the credit for the success that Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is having this year goes directly to Vladimir Guerrero Jr., where he looked at himself, he looked at his teammates, and he made a promise to them both that he would be better. And this is the reward for everyone.
Hey, Ben, real quick.
Yeah, I think go ahead, Mike.
Sorry, I just was – you sure?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Just looking at the clock, I wanted to get this in real quick here, Ben, before you go. The rotation for the weekend, Manoa was suspended. He's appealing the suspension, and I see him on tap for tomorrow.
Yeah, if that five-game suspension lapses, he should be good. So that's the way I understand it.
Okay.
He's already set the 5 days.
Oh, he has. Okay, so that's already complete, yeah. And he pitches tomorrow night.
Yeah, he should be good to go, unless there's something that we're waiting.
Okay.
We'll hear from Charlie to get all that confirmed in about 20 minutes. But
okay.
It should be Alek Manoa time once again.
Cool. All right. Bulldog, you want to throw one more thing in or no?
No, man. I'm all set.
All right.
Good.
Thanks, Ben.
Awesome. Great to chat with you guys.